The sun doesn't always shine and the wind doesn't always blow. The sustainable energy industry faces a problem when it comes to energy production and storage. How do we make sure to store the surplus energy generated during peak production times and deliver it 24/7? This is the mission of Soltex, a company based in Stockholm, using a combination of salt and an innovative patented nanocoating to store energy potentially forever, thus offering a sustainable solution to our current and future energy storage needs. If you want to know more about this solution, just keep on listening.
Welcome to Reset Mindset Podcast, showing you how companies are combining sustainability and profit today. We believe everyone has a responsibility to innovate for a better future. So if you are looking for inspiring stories to reinvent a sustainable future, you are in the right place.
Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of Reset Mindset Podcast. My name is Marcello and with me today is also Nora. Today we have the pleasure to introduce to you the CTO of a very, very interesting and exciting company, Soltex. His name is Corey Blackman, and Soltex, it's one of those projects that when you hear about it, at least when I heard about it, my jaw literally dropped because it's one of those combinations of technology and innovation and forward-looking for sustainability that it's really inspiring. And so, Corey, my first question would be to tell us what is exactly Soltex's mission and what are you here to bring?
Oh, so thank you for having me. Soltex, we're a small innovation company based here in Stockholm, Sweden, and our goal is to actually create or develop sustainable technology solutions. So this is for the benefit of society, of course, but also we are very interested in the energy transition from fossil fuels to renewables. So we are working on large-scale energy storage systems, which we think are going to play a very large role in the decarbonization of energy systems. So it's going to be a main enabling technology for this.
Super cool. So SaltX, tell us about the salt. What is it about the salt that is innovating in your product?
Yeah, so when people hear salt, they think a lot about the table salt, so sodium chloride that you typically have sprinkle on your food, etc. But in this case, we use a different salt, and we have the ability to use different types of salt, which can be used for energy storage purposes. And what we've done is we've created a kind of a spin on salt, where we would store energy in this salt for short periods or even for long periods. And this is going to be very important for dealing with the intermittencies of renewable energies, especially when it comes to wind and solar. We know that wind doesn't always blow and the sun doesn't always shine. So it's going to be very important to actually store this energy and to deliver it when it's needed.
It's basically a little bit like energy on demand.
Exactly. So one of the good things about when it comes to working with fossil fuels is that you have this energy on demand. You can actually, if you want to meet a certain peak demand, then you burn a little bit more coal or you burn a little bit more gas, and then you can also reduce that as time goes on. When it comes to renewables, it's actually a little bit more challenging since the wind doesn't always blow and the sun doesn't always shine. So it's very important that during times of abundance that you can store this energy and then you can dispatch it or have it on demand when it's necessary.
Wonderful. And are you using, or your customers, are they individuals? Are they companies? Who are your main customers?
So the main customers will be companies, so actors in the energy sector that produce or deliver energy in the energy sector, and also when it comes to industrial customers. So there is a lot of opportunity for optimizing and improving and decarbonizing industry. And we see that as going to be one of the main areas where our technology can really shine.
And so What's the problem with traditional energy storage solutions for renewable energy? So rightfully so, you say the wind doesn't always blow and the sun doesn't always shine, but what is the problem with the current solutions, and how is Soltix better and different?
In terms of energy storage, the different types of energy storage are going to be needed for different applications and different areas. And right now, there's been a lot of focus on energy storage when it comes to batteries. So storing electricity and providing electricity. But we at Soltix, we also noticed that heat is very, very important. So in industrial applications or industrial settings, I should say, about 70% of the energy that's used is in the form of heat. And in terms of household, about 50% or more of this energy is used in the form of heat. So when it comes to storing energy, you try to minimize the amount of conversions, the amount of times you convert energy from one source to another. And so if the energy is going to be used as heat, it makes a lot of sense to actually store it and deliver it as heat. And we see that this is one of the main driving forces behind the technological developments that we're doing. And also, it's very important scalability to be able to do this on large scale and also on small scale. And large scale systems are one of our main focus. And this is because we see that in general, if you look at how much energy needs to be saved, especially when we roll out more wind and solar energy, we're going to need about 10%, 10 to 20% of that capacity needs to be saved at some point in time to mitigate the differences between day and night and even between the seasons. And so this means that there's going to be a large amount of energy storage that's going to be needed. And when you look at the amount that's going to be needed over, let's say, over the next 30 years or so 20 to 30 years, we have to roll out over 100 megawatts of energy storage every day until 2040 to meet the requirements for deep decarbonization. Oh. So large systems are going to be key in this transition.
Is it okay if I jump in? I have I just try to understand and to imagine how it looks in practice. So you large industrial companies are your clients. Do you have a product that sits on site, like a container, or how does it work?
So yes, so think about that. It is basically a power plant. So think about it as a power plant that has the ability to store energy. So that is basically what it is. And it will, the sizes and how it looks will differ based on what the client and what the application is.
So you basically build your mini power plant on site to be as close as possible to the customer.
Exactly. And one of the key things with this also is that we see there's a large opportunity to actually reuse existing infrastructure, to retrofit existing infrastructure. There's a lot of decommissioning of coal plants that are going on here in Europe and also in China. And what are we going to do with these very nice, strong buildings and all the interconnections that we have, all the piping and wiring, etc.? One of the main or one of the interesting aspects of this is to be able to convert it into an energy storage system.
That's truly fascinating. I really love the retrofitting aspect.
And let's go inside of the power plant. What is that happens with the salt? How were you able to store energy in salt? Let us understand a little bit more how it works.
So think of a mixture of salt and water. So you basically have this specific mixture. We use a salt called calcium hydroxide, and this is used in different applications, including like pickling of foods, water processing, creation of mortars, that type of stuff. And think about it as a mixture of salt and water. So in this case, we need to heat the salt up to a relatively high temperatures, so we're talking about 500 degrees, in order to separate it from the water. So in this heating process, also we call it the charging process, basically you separate the salt from the water, and the salt can be stored in one vessel and the water can be stored in another vessel. And whilst the water and salt are stored separately, this is basically the storage phase. So basically nothing happens. And then when you want to dispatch the energy or dispatch the heat, you recombine this salt and this water. It creates a very strong and hot reaction. So high temperatures, 450 degrees or so, which produces heat, which can be transformed into steam, which can be used for many different applications. So you have these three phases. You have the charging phase, where you're separating the salt and the water. You have the storage phase, where you store the salt and water separately. And then you have the discharge phase, when you recombine them in order to produce.
But Corey, here a random question from me, and Marcello probably will cut it out as the host of the day. But if you have, I think it's called desalination plants, where salt water, the salt is removed, so it becomes drinkable water. Could you work with this water? Could we create synergies between a desalination plant and producing and storing heat?
I've actually never thought about it in that way.
Marcello, let's find a patient.
Hired. Hire her.
But potentially that is, but I would have to think a little bit more about what the benefit of it would be in terms of the overall synergies.
Yeah, but so that's something we didn't say in introduction. Nora is incredibly creative and innovative. So, you know, if you want to hire her for some consultations, she's always ready to give this combinations of solutions. Thank you.
But yeah, sounds very interesting.
So you said before that you can store the energy for long term. So how long is that? And is that longer than a traditional battery that you would use in these applications?
So in terms of the length of time, this energy can be stored forever, because it is stored as chemical potential. So we talk about our system being a thermochemical battery, which just means that instead that we take heat and we store it in chemical bonds, and then what we do is that when we discharge our battery, we provide heat again. So it's the thermal equivalent of lithium ion batteries that you will have in your mobile phones and laptops, etc., that store electricity in the form of chemical bonds and then produce electricity. So it's analogous to that. Mm-hmm. But there's technically no length of time that is a challenge, because what you do is that you store the salt separately from the water, and as long as this salt is kept dry, it retains its chemical potential for basically forever.
Wow.
The challenge comes in to do when it comes to cycling this salt, so going charging and discharging it continuously. What happens is that there is a process where it starts to basically clump together. So the salt is found in a very nice fine powder, which allows the mixing to go very quickly. When the salt starts to clump together, the mixing slows down, and then the reaction is slow and slows down until it's not usable anymore. So we would like to have a quick and fast and efficient reaction. And so this is why we've come up with this technology for nanocoating the salt, in order to avoid this clumping together. So you can think of the nanocoating as like using dryer balls that you would typically put between your clothes in order to stop them from clumping together, so that your clothes can dry more quickly. And so basically that's what we do between the salt particles. We put this nano coating in order to allow the reaction to occur more readily and more quickly, and also to be able to maintain this strong reaction for weeks, months, years.
Wow, fantastic. And is this something that you invented? So it's this process patented? Is it a nano coating? What's your IP on all this?
Yes, so the nano-coated technology is patented worldwide by Saltex. The chemical reaction is quite well known, but the nano-coating is definitely a unique spin on this in order to improve the usability of the salt, and so that it can also be used many, many times. And also, a lot of our IP and a lot of our knowledge goes into how to take this system from basically a lab scale, because there are several research institutes and companies who've done this on a lab scale. But if you want to take it into reality, into the real world, then you need to build it up into from a few kilograms of salt to several tons of salt. So when we're going from a few kilowatts of energy to several megawatts of energy, this is also what we have done over the years. And we've done this through our own ingenuity, but we've also know our limitations, so we've also partnered with several other companies in order to work with them and to adapt their commercially available technology to the needs of our energy storage system.
I see. Can you tell us a little bit more about what are the applications of your technology, and if this solution is already applied somewhere in the world?
So we have a pilot plant in Berlin, Germany, and in this plant we take in electricity that is abundant electricity that is at low prices. And we store it, and then we can deliver this as municipal heating or district heating, as it's called, when there's high demand. And so this is one of the applications, one of the main applications of all technology. But we also can use heat from many different sources. So high temperature waste heat from industrial processes. And in many industrial processes, they might have a batch process where you heat over a period of time, and then you need to cool down, and then you need to heat up again. And in many cases, you might need to be able to store this energy intermediately. And of course, there are many different variants of these applications where you can utilize electricity in order to heat or salt, or you can utilize waste heat, or you can even utilize biogases. So if you have a biogas digester or something like that that's producing a certain amount of biogases, you can use this biogas in order to heat our energy storage. You store the energy chemically, and then you can deliver it when it's needed for industrial processes, for instance.
And can you deliver only heat, or are there other?
Yes, so in this case we deliver high temperature heat, so we can talk about quality of energy. So electricity is the energy with the highest quality because it has so much, it's so flexible. So and high temperature heat is not as flexible, but it still has very, very good energy quality. And with this high temperature heat, then we can provide steam for applications, but we can also run a steam turbine that will produce electricity in itself.
Okay.
So these are the two possibilities, or two of the possibilities, I should say, for our heat, for our delivery.
But is it just for my own interest? Do you sell the electricity, or do you charge for the plant and then it runs itself, or you charge for?
So it's we would charge for the plant. So we deliver the energy storage technology. So that is our goal here. So that would be what we would provide to the customer.
I see. I was wondering, where does this kind of solution fit into the bigger picture, the bigger scope of solutions for sustainable energy storage? So is it something that alone could cover the energy storage needs, or, you know, does it have to go parallelly with other technologies and solutions?
So when we talk about energy, we typically focus a lot on electricity. But there are different forms of energy. We use energy in the form of heating. We use energy in the form of cooling, but we also use energy in the form of electricity. In different applications, you will have different types of energy storage systems that are going to be more viable, more cost effective, more reasonable to employ. And then also, depending on geographic locations, you will also have differences there. So we see that there's going to be many different energy technologies that will need to be implemented and implemented in the best way. There will be some that will be focused on electricity. There will be some that will be providing heat, but we don't see that there's going to be a silver bullet when it comes to energy storage technologies. And then you also have to think about the duration of this energy storage. So in some cases, you just want to meet small fluctuations in the energy grids or the electricity grids. And in some cases, you want to have energy stored for longer periods of time, maybe weeks or months, or even throughout from one season to another. Mm-hmm. And these differences will determine which type of energy storage system would be used. And so our system will play a very important role, we believe, in the large scale energy storage, in optimizing industrial waste heat use, and also for in district heating systems, as well as being able to produce electricity and heat for specific applications where you have combined heat and power solutions.
I see. So the application seems to be very much on a, you know, global scale and applied to, as you said, waste heating from industry. So very big scope here. Is this technology something that can be really applied globally? And I'm wondering what is the how material intensive is the solution? You know, where does the salt come from? Is this something that we can, you know, apply on a global scale until the end of our times in a way?
Yes, so we focus a lot on scalability as well as sustainability. When it comes to scale, we work with calcium oxide, calcium hydroxide. It's based on limestone. There's very large limestone deposits everywhere, and this is a material that's produced in quite substantial amounts all over the world. So I think a figure that I saw the last time was about 400 million tons of this material, calcium oxide, is produced every year. And one thing we can add here is that this material is completely recyclable. So after we've run it in our energy storage system, it can be reused in the typical uses that you will have for this type of material, which includes production of concrete and cement, etc. So this is very important for us to be able to have a system that's scalable, that can meet the demand for large-scale energy storage systems, and that's also globally a material that's globally available.
Mm-hmm. I see. Where is the world in terms of incentives to this kind of technology? So maybe you can speak a little bit about what are the policies of the various countries that are interested in investing into alternative energy storage systems?
Yeah, so in terms of policies and incentives, they vary by country to country, and in some cases even by city to city. There are quite a few incentives for the installation of renewable energy, low carbon energy sources. But in terms of the policies right now for energy storage, it's still there's still a gray zone. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done in terms of incentivizing the inclusion of energy storage with renewable energy installations. But there are some cities and that are pioneering and looking at different ways and different solutions to incentivize this. And they're also, we see that there's going to be more and more incentives, especially here in Europe, to increase the cost of CO2 emissions, which will significantly improve the business case for the implementation of renewable forms of energy, including energy storage.
So one goal is a wall for society, and where we add in the cycle is to reduce CO2 emission and move towards renewables, and then within the renewables to choose the renewables that have the least negative impact on the wider environment, and then in addition to have energy as closely produced to where you actually are, where you're using it. And this is also where the energy storage solution then comes in.
And I can add to that not only where you're using it, but also when you're using it, which is one of the critical aspects of energy storage.
And could we imagine, I'm just thinking, my dad is very, very frugal. And so energy prices change by the time you're using it. I think, I'm not sure if that's always the case, but that's certainly, you know, perhaps that's the reason why he's a night owl. But could we imagine an application where people use it to exploit and make a commercial case, meaning they buy energy cheap and they use your solution to store it and release it during the day? Is that something you could see coming to the market, or perhaps it already exists?
So yes, that type of storage already exists. It's typically called energy arbitrage. And what you would do is that you buy cheap energy and you would sell it when it is more expensive so that you can profit from that. But one of the main things I would say is that, especially when it comes to policy, then it should also be incentivized that you also utilize this with renewable or low carbon forms of energy.
Yeah.
So that's what you'd be focusing on storing.
Yeah.
Because technically you could do it without that. We would not want that to happen.
Of course. Of course. Corey, I have some more personal questions, if you will. I'm interested to know always the journey of the personalities that we interview here. And so my next question would be, what is your journey to Soltex, and what really made you decide to join the company?
So I would say that my coming to Soltex was kind of serendipitous. Initially, I was thinking of studying biomedical engineering, and then I caught the energy bug and decided to focus mostly on the energy aspects of it. So I started working with energy efficiency, especially for heating and cooling systems. But my passion and my background was a lot in terms of solar energy and solar energy systems. So as I got further and further into this heating and cooling and understanding the different technologies that can be used for heating and cooling aspects, I decided to study that area in more in detail. And this led me to working with heating and cooling solutions, solar energy solutions, as well as energy storage solutions. And this led me to Soltex as a company that has been working with solar energy solutions in the past, but also in the most recent future have been focused on energy storage solutions.
I see. And something that I also ask usually to the guests, how do you imagine the world in 10 years?
Say what I hope for in 10 years is that we have very clear sustainability strategies. I think we all have an idea of the direction that we need to go. There's a lot of talk and a lot of interest, but I think there's a lack of a clear strategy, especially for many nations and cities, etc. So I'm hoping that we can move closer to that, so we can make this transition happen as quickly as possible. And I also see that the democracy of energy is going to be quite important, especially when it comes to further development. So it's I think it's extremely important.
Well, you can just quote Bill Gates. I think that's so interesting. The latest Bill Gates book really starts when he realized, I think he speaks about it. He travels to Africa or to developing nations, and he's surprised. He lands there in the night and everything is pitch dark because we are so used to have energy 24/7 available at any point in time. And this is really not the reality for most people on this earth. And I really like that you say the democratization of energy, because we need it to help other nations to live a better, healthier life.
Exactly. And to also skip the aspects of using high carbon energy sources, to go directly to low carbon energy sources, and to also have their own indigenous energy sources that would allow for faster development and more sustainable development.
Absolutely. So the leapfrogging, rather than taking the same stages to leapfrog into the renewable stage. And so you're saying that we could use policy making to incentivize developing nations to follow that step.
Exactly.
One thing that you picked up on that you mentioned and that I would like to pick up on is you used the word transition a few times. And I think for energy, I would agree we can go from, you know, high carbon to low carbon, or from high carbon to no carbon. It's a clear transition, as in there's a real goal. It is like a one and then it's a zero. Now, the overall system of sustainability, as far as I'm concerned, is much more complex, much more system change related, as you also mentioned too. And for me here, it comes about the concept of transformation. So the continuous evolution rather than a transition. Do you have any view or any discussions in your organization to look at your solution not as just a transition, but something that will continue to evolve and adapt for the transformational journey?
Absolutely. So we see the transition is the near term. So we talk a lot about the overall transition, that we need to transition into this. But the energy systems will definitely have to undergo a transformation. And this comes into, we've discussed a lot of these aspects, and this was one of the main aspects that we actually put into our solution in the Helsinki Challenge, which we were one of the winners of. In this case, we did a very holistic approach. We looked at the overall energy system as it stands. And in that, we looked at different methods of actually going from a high carbon society to a low carbon society. And there's one thing of looking at just the energy production, but it's also how the energy is used and how to actually moderate or to incentivize certain types of usage and certain types of behavior. So, I mean, in our solution for that competition, for Helsinki Challenge, we looked into a lot of electrification of their energy system, as well as utilizing waste heat. And this was we took into account that they are mature technologies and also available infrastructure that we can reuse and utilize in the best way. And then, of course, we have energy storage. But then we also linked that with artificial intelligence. So we worked with the company in order to look at forecasting and optimization engines, where you can look at how to store the energy, what kind of production you will expect from different renewable energy sources, and also what kind of demand and how to incentivize or manage this demand in the best way. So this is a method that we've taken forward, and it can, of course, be applied to many different cities, different applications, different industries. And it's very critical to look at different technologies, various technologies, and how they will work together, and how, what kind of cost-effective combinations one will have for these different technologies. And this, we believe, is going to be very critical in order to actually create a transformation of the overall energy system.
And what do you think are the key drivers that influence the transformation and the mindset of this holistic approach that is perhaps not so linear, not so straightforward, a bit more complex? What are some of the drivers that help and some drivers that perhaps hinder or need to be improved?
So one of the main drivers has to do with overall incentives. So incentives can come in the form of monetary incentives, of course, and this is very key. But then also there are other incentives that need to be also tackled when it comes to changes in behavior and awareness and understanding. And this is critical for people to understand how they use energy, where their energy comes from, what is the carbon footprint of their energy use. And I think awareness and knowledge is going to be one of the key drivers as we go along this journey.
Do you then also work with the communities, perhaps even with individuals, with schools? What is your impact on the wider society to drive, to increase the understanding, the knowledge and the awareness?
Yeah. So from our standpoint, we work with research institutes. We work with students who are working on energy matters and sustainable energy systems. And I do guest lectures on this area. And so we try to engage new and upcoming minds about the challenges of energy and energy systems. And energy storage is relatively new. It's not new in terms of technologies, etc., but it's a new thought that's drifting into or coming into people's minds more and more. As we've done very well, I should say maybe not very well, but we've done a pretty decent job over the last years of integrating renewable energies into the energy systems. But now, as we're coming to a critical turning point where if we want to increase or accelerate this integration, we're definitely going to need energy storage systems in order to enable this. And this is a type of awareness that we've been pushing with different parts of the community, especially within academia.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Corey. Let's hope to see this solution applied in many, many cities all over the world very, very soon. Last thing I want to ask you, and I think then we can wrap it up. I want to ask you, for our listeners that don't know what SALT is, how can they support you, the company and its mission?
Yeah, so as a company, our mission is definitely within the supporting this transition or transformation, as we can call it as well, towards energy. So the support of schemes to buy renewable electricity or to buy renewable energy, supportive of political incentives, political individuals, persons who have mandates in order to push climate change goals, as well as spreading the overall awareness of the need of energy storage.
So Corey, is there anything else you would like to add before we close? Or Nora?
How sustainable is your company internally? Like how well are you looking after your own ESG?
Yeah, so from our perspective, we live and breathe sustainability. Everybody here is very not only conscious in terms of energy sustainability, but just general sustainability. So the way we eat, the way we manufacture, the way we recycle, and many other aspects. And it's also very critical for us when it comes to working with different partners, that they also have sustainability goals and mandates.
That's very great to hear. Corey, it was great to have you. Thank you so much for all your insights and all your input. And obviously, keep up with the good work at Soltex. I'm very excited to hear more about it and to maybe check out the plant in Berlin.
Yes. I didn't mention, actually, we also have a plant here in Stockholm, and we also have one in Shanghai.
Oh, okay.
Are you going to have one in London? We need, you know, with a big, great green plan, whatever Boris Johnson's idea is. I can't take it so seriously. So I don't even remember. I think the Green Deal. What are you doing with transforming London?
I would like to, very much so, as you might hear.
Let's do it together.
I would like to, but we actually don't have so much of a presence in London, but
Not yet. I'm sure you're going to conquer London. Sounds like a great solution. Thanks so much, Corey.
Thank you so much, both.
Thank you for having me.